Britain had been under pressure from the United States during the course of the war to find a way to relinquish its colonial possession of India, to provide for a transition to Indian independence. Churchill had steadfastly rejected, he had resisted his friend Roosevelt's efforts to get some sort of commitment from the British government on this. Indeed, Churchill had said on more than one occasion, "I did not become prime minister in order to preside over the dismantling of the British Empire." Nonetheless, by 1947, Britain would relinquish its hold on India. India would achieve independence after a struggle largely marked by Gandhi's policy of passive resistance. And in 1952, Egypt too would gain full independence from Britain. Thereafter, especially in the 1960s, Britain would lose its possessions in Africa, Asia, and the Middle East. It saw its global position shrink, and Britain really reduced, although a permanent member of the Security Council, a victor state of the Second World War, Britain would see its international position decline during this period of the Cold War. The global power of individual European states then declined throughout the post-war era. Indonesia won its independence from the Netherlands in 1949. Mozambique and Angola claimed independence from Portugal in 1975. And Zimbabwe would achieve its independence only in 1980. The process would go on. Indeed, if the Cold War defined the European order in Europe, decolonization and the emergence of former colonial possessions as independent states would be the major theme of European international development, non-European development during this period after the Second World War. Western Europe was also economically devastated in 1945. It is hard to overstate the extent of physical devastation to the major industrial centers everywhere. Certainly in Germany, in Italy, in France, and also in Great Britain. And the victorious Allies feared serious social unrest. Unless something were done to spur economic recovery, then there was a very real threat of social instability, political instability, the spread of communism into Central and Western Europe. The governments of Britain and France met this challenge domestically by embarking upon ambitious social welfare programs. The Fourth Republic in France would introduce sweeping nationalization measures and began what really was a form of capitalist planned economy. Even the Fifth Republic, with the return of de Gaulle and a move to the right, did not reverse this move toward the creation of a modern welfare state in France. Similarly, a labor government was swept into power in Britain, as we've seen in the summer of 1945. The old conservative government, the wartime government of Churchill, had been ideal for fighting the great conflict against Germany. But with the defeat of Germany, the British population, this was expressed very clearly in those elections in 1945, needed a different kind of leadership. There were different challenges. Having suffered, having paid the price, having stood alone, the British population wanted something more from its government. And a Labour Party, a Labour government, seemed to offer the best path toward a new form of social contract. Indeed, the British Labour government that came into power in 1945 had laid the foundations of the modern welfare state in Britain by 1950 when Churchill returned to power, and it would remain in place down to really the Thatcher government in a much later era. Britain was able to build on initiatives taken in the 1920s to deal with a number of social problems, but it was a dramatic extension of this welfare state that one witnessed in the late 1940s.